So welcome back, everyone. Did you have a good tea break? Yes, okay. And you're ready for an exciting session. So I have with me three wonderful souls from three very varied backgrounds, living in three different parts of the world. And we're going to explore how they went from doing to being. Maybe they haven't quite got to the being, but they're on the way. And so I'd like to introduce them all first before I ask them questions. And I chose some very difficult questions, right? So let's see how they go. So the first person on my right is Brother David Kielowski. And I've known David for almost 35 years because we lived together in Australia. And at that time, David was very well known for being an artist and painting these beautiful pictures of a point of light in all sorts of different colors and designs. And so then 30 years ago, David moved to this campus, and he has been a resident artist here. In the meanwhile, he also has acquired many musical instruments, which you would have heard this morning, those who went on the walk. And he also learned how to bake bread. So he bakes the most amazing sourdough bread. Yeah. So a round of applause, please, for David. Secondly, I'd like to introduce to you Sister Sarah. And Sarah holds a very special place in my heart because I was just in Indonesia and I spent some time with her in Jakarta last month. And Sarah is one of the best chefs you will find in the whole of Asia. And And Sarah is the kind of person who, when you go to the center to stay with her, every 15 minutes she asks you, anything else you want? Anything else you want? And even when you're going to bed and she's made everything perfect, she'll still ask, is there anything else you want? I mean, who wouldn't want to be around someone like Sarah, right? So, Sarah is Indonesian, but she was brought up in Malaysia for a lot of her life, and now she is, of course, resident in Jakarta. So a round of applause for dear Sarah. And thirdly, Brother Arif. Now, Arif I know more than anyone else because I taught Arif meditation almost 16 years ago. And so in Abu Dhabi, I remember when he came. And he used to ask questions after questions after questions because he's an engineer. And I couldn't answer the questions. But he kept meditating. And today he is one of my right hands in Abu Dhabi. And also Sister Mariam, who is somewhere in the audience, is one of my right hands. And so without Arif and Mariam, the center in Abu Dhabi would not exist. So he spent 6 months in Abu Dhabi. And sometime here in Mount Abu, where his wife lives in a flat. So, round of applause for Arif. So, now to my difficult questions. So, all of them, as you can see, have been doers in their life. In fact, most of the world is a human doing. Is that correct? We go from one task to another. Are you like that? Yeah. You finish one task and you're thinking about the next three. So I'm going to ask them the first question, which is, were you a human doing before you learned how to meditate? Can you identify with being the kind of person who just did all the time? And what were you doing? What was your human doing like? So David, would you like to start?
Om Shanti. Yes, I think just growing up in the West, anyway, especially in Australia, the mindset, and even with advertising and how we're growing up, it's always to do with doing. Mm. You have to be doing, doing, doing. And I guess it just become like that was normal, that you did everything you did for a, you went to work for, six days, and you have one day off on the weekend. And that's when you did what you really wanted to do, especially if it was something other than work.
You did your washing and ironing.
Yes, washing and ironing and all those things. So it was, I think, just we're growing up in that space of the doing, doing, doing. And yes, the being side is something I'll share a little bit later. But the being side is something that's sort of like forgotten a bit, you know, the being, how to really be. And yeah, so doing, yes, it's definitely a doing society.
What doing, were you doing? What was your profession? What
did you? I actually did apprenticeship as a carpenter and joiner. So I had a job in the government, which was really best of materials, plenty of time to do the job, but completely boring as well. Because, as you know, anyone here works in the government, yeah? So you know what government job? They call it the government stroke. So I finished that apprenticeship after 4 years, and I was very interested in travelling, like working and have a working holiday. So I didn't want to stay in that job because, especially in the government, because there wasn't that incentive, and I had adventure in my mind. So, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Wonderful. Sarah, what were you doing before you came to learn meditation, and were you a doing person?
Yes, I think all of us the same, isn't it? Yeah, so before I come to this Raja Yoga, the Brahma Kumaris, I was in working with a logistic firm. So we are transporting all the equipments of the telecommunications, the equipments. So it's a very, very risky work, and I'm the only lady in that, we always doing without any aim, you know, just rushing every day, right? No aim and no what is this, you know, we just work day by day, and then then at the end of the day, then we get tired, and then but we get nothing. Yeah, that's how after coming to learn how to meditate, and then we know what is the being. So the question is doing and being. So what do you think? Which come first? So everybody, are you the same? Are you being or doing, or doing or being?
Yeah, true. Yep.
Being, yes, yeah. Yes, so we have the awareness, right? Then we do.
Yeah. Good, so you're also a human doing. And now, Arif, I remember...
I'm also very clumsy. rushing here and there.
Very clumsy, okay, too much doing. Yes, Arif, I remember you used to come in the morning for meditation, then go home, then you're a father of two children, and then you drop them to school, then go to work, then come home and then cook your food and come for meditation in the evening. And, you know, so... Were you a human doing, and how did you feel as a human doing?
No, actually. When I was very young, I used to spend time just sitting. And because of that, my mother used to say that I'm very lazy. And I didn't know what was going on, I would be learning meditation later, where you sit and not do anything. But what happened is, I remember, actually, I used to go to the school. Our house and the school was just next to one another. I used to go to school when all the kids have left. And I used to just, my best peaceful experience was in that moment. I just used to lie down, or I just used to sit a lot of time. But what I realized is I was human thinking. And around the age of maybe 6-7 years old, I used to ask myself this question, who is this one who is thinking? I was no clue, like I could hear this me speaking to me, and I would ask this question. But as time passed and as things started getting more and more complex, I couldn't sit anymore. And also I was feeling very bad that I was being labeled as lazy. You know, I didn't like that. So I had to do something. So I started doing and doing and doing. And I think that journey took me into a stage that even at this moment, 80% I'm just doing. Maybe a little bit I'm being. So most of the time I'm still being. And once I understood, I had a kind of slowly understanding that we are being, whether we like it or not. So you are being. Okay, it's just that sometimes we are aware and sometimes we are not. And in the body, I can't not do. You can't be in a body and not do. You are doing something, okay? Maybe it's something that others can see, or sometimes others can't see. Just like I said, no? I'm thinking, you know, so I'm quite, I think, in the middle of human thinking quite a bit, most of the time. And then in occasions, of course, once things start moving, I get pulled into doing. But sometimes I'm able to be while doing. So that's something that I've kind of noticed for myself.
So just keep the mic and I'll pick up another question, but you can start with that. As you know how Arif mentioned that he was labeled as lazy, and sometimes to get away from being lazy or useless or worthless, we start to rely on how much we can do to feel good about ourselves. Well, the more you do, the better you are. So sometimes our self-respect is based on doing. Because when you do, you produce results, whether it's money or a project or a baking a good cake, you know, like David and Sarah and Arif. Actually, all three of them bake cakes. So, you know, the better the cake, the better you are. Right? Then you get praise. And the praise makes you feel even better, so you do more. So my question is, can you say that you're doing became a source of your self-respect?
Oh, definitely. It's a defense also, and also where you get your respect from. And I notice sometimes, as I said, no, rather than being lazy, you would like a label of, you know, active. And that, I think, is a trap, because once you receive also what, like you receive any kind of success, then you are doing more of that, okay? The second side of it is a defense, because if I continue doing, then I don't have to be, okay? So I've noticed in myself and in others, they would just keep talking because they don't want to probably see something or address something else. So I've noticed that for myself as well, that you just talk, like you're a group of four people and everybody's silent, but you feel that you have to speak something. You know, what's that? There's this pull, you know, that something is wrong with me. And then I realize there's nothing wrong, it's just that this trap that we are in, that we must be doing something. And filling the void that is, I'm afraid of. I can't face that. Okay, can I just give one more example? Recently, I think it was after that COVID time, and I wasn't feeling like doing anything. You know, like sometimes you just feel kind of, you know, just not want, you don't want to do anything. And I was feeling very bad that I don't want to do anything. Okay? And I took a different angle. And I said, okay, let me see how long can I feel this. And the moment I decided that, okay, let me just be and see what happens. And immediately a spark of energy came. You know, just like that. You know, because I accepted that silence, that non-doing. And then immediately, I was moving and I was doing something. But this doing is coming from a different space. There's no, you know, push or compulsion that I have to do. You know, so this is my short experience.
Thank you, thank you. That's very valuable. And Sarah, recently when I was in Jakarta, we were having a lovely conversation. And sometimes from the outside, people don't realize what it takes to manage a little center, you know, and how many little administrative roles there are. And we were talking about how, you know, sometimes people say, what do you do all day? But we know there's never a dull moment when you're running a little center. So how do you feel if people say to you, well, what do you do all day? I mean,
yeah, this is the question always people ask because they see you are alone in the center. You know, like, you do nothing? But I'm there 9 years. It's not easy. So, but we know ourselves. I stand very firm in my self-respect, right? Yeah. Because when you are not firm in your self-respect, you will easily get distracted or you get stressed also because you're alone, right? Who are you going to talk to? So, this is how, I will just be myself, a being. Doing, if you are doing, yes, you just want to prove to people. You know, you just want to prove I'm doing well, I'm doing, yeah. So then, as Aribai says, yeah, no, just go inside yourself and then be aware, you know, get the awareness come, yeah. How to being, right? When you being, then you will become still, you will come down, and then you will, yes, just reflecting what people, why they ask, yeah, these questions, right? So that is how I think being, yeah, is very, very, yeah, we have to be being, not, but anyways, Sonaban, I will say, the balance. We must have the doing and being. So in Chinese, we said yin yang, right?
Yin yang.
Yeah. So you're doing, you are active, this and that, you know. But being, you become stillness, you become peace. More sustenance.
Which is being and which is doing? The yin or the yang?
The yang. The doing is the yang, very active.
Okay.
Yeah. The yin is very calm, still. Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah. Lovely. Because I remember being there and, you know, some people say, well, we don't know what Sarah does all day. But to me, because I spent a few days with her, we were up for morning meditation and she was always there before me. She turned the Zoom on. She had the whole hall set up for students to come. This is like 6 o'clock in the morning. And then after that, she would be creating breakfast for everybody. And then she'd be making lunch and then dinner and then taking me out for, you know, visiting people and programs and I could understand how she did so much, so peacefully. And for people, it looked like, well, what are you doing, Sarah, all day? So interesting, isn't it? David, when you paint, David, when you're an artist, in artist mode, you must be having moments where you're just doing nothing and just staring at, I don't know what you do when you think of what to paint. Do people ever look at you and say, what are you doing, David? And, you know, do you do anything? How do you cope with that? How do you cope with being an artist who doesn't live in the, you know, the mechanical life that we have?
Well, I think it's like anything that's an art, sort of, I've been sort of learning that, you know, when we're doing something, if we're doing that particular task where we're 100% focused, really concentrated and focused on that, and especially if we love doing that as well, then that becomes an art. Because all the attention, all the concentration, you're completely focused, and that's what makes that the art. Because when somebody is doing something where they're fully engaged in that 100%, and if you're observing that person, you'll see that they're totally into that task. And that's very different to if I'm doing a task where I'm not interested, but I'm just doing that task because I have to, and I have to do that before I do something else, then maybe the attention in that task is only, say, let's say 50%. 50% I'm doing that, but my mind's somewhere else, and what I do there will be not really full. It'll be something okay, but, you know, something's missing in that. And it might be just, for example, sometimes here in this art department we have here in the campus, we may get some sevadaris or people who come and do some very simple work, like just cutting the paper, cutting the poster square. Yeah? All their task is to do is to get that paper with a sliding cutter and cut a parallel line. You think that would be easy, yeah? Yeah? A simple job? But if you look, sometimes you see it's this much this side and this much this side, and you think, you just look and you cut a straight line, but you can see then that the attention in the task is not there. The mind is somewhere else. And I think this where sometimes I think one of the very extreme things in the world today is, why do some people like these extreme sports? Yeah? This extreme sports where if you have 1 second lack of concentration, Om Shanti. Yeah? you cannot afford to have even 1 second lack of concentration, otherwise there's a severe accident. So sometimes I think, how can I bring my world such that I can be in that space of being and doing where I'm 100% in that space in the moment? And this is sort of where I think, because in the future also, I think we're all artists at heart. We all have something which we love doing, and when we do that, we bring that attention into that space.
Mm. Yeah. Nice definition of art, isn't it? And that means we're all artists if we are enjoying what we're doing and being with what we're doing. Mm. Lovely. So now fast forward to the moment where you came and learned meditation, right? And how did that change your life in terms of how much you did and the quality of your doing? So when you learned how to be, because that's what meditation is, isn't it? It helps you how to just be. Then how did that change what you did? Sarah, would you like to start?
Yes, after learning the meditation, Raja Yoga meditation, so of course a lot of changing. That's why I'm here. I'm still here today. Yeah, so it changed me in my life. I'm doing, as I say just now, I'm the kind of person very rushing. I want to do everything very quick. And like Sona Ben say, yeah, you are doing now, but you think of the next thing you want to do. So like multitask, you know. Yeah, so then you feel like the result and then what you want, you expect, it's not there, right? Because you are not concentrating, as David Bai say. So this is how when I start to understand what is how to meditate and how to be, then I slowly and slow down my pace, and then I can see more the result that I expected. So this is how. So this is very important, right? To come down to being, and then we do our things, right? So we go back to our own being, the nature. What is my nature? Actually, yeah, you are calm, very calm. You are loving. So, and I'm also a very angry person last time before that.
Angry? Did you say angry or hungry?
Angry.
Angry.
So, yeah, then relationship, yeah, we will come to, yeah, so relationship broken, everything, even with my parents, yeah. So then, after that, I understand, yeah, we have to be not human, but human being.
Nice, thank you, yes. So we need to be a human being, yes. So Arif, how did meditation change how much you did and the quality of what you did? Because I see you doing as much today as 16 years ago. So what has shifted for you?
I could officially be lazy now, and I would just say that I'm meditating, so it's okay. That's one thing. And what I think meditation or learning or understanding this whole being thing is, it has given me initially an understanding and a kind of a way to actually see how I can bring that balance. Even though I would be doing, I would get this realization that, look, you know, something would kind of be triggered after understanding that, look, this is what is happening. And sometimes while doing, you can't stop. You know, you continue for a while. And there's no problem actually in doing by itself. The issue is to be identify yourself with what you're doing. So that's what I feel has changed, that I am aware that I'm going towards something that is not useful for me. So that's what meditation has. And then during some moments, you get to hit that spot where is this being doing balance, perfectly balanced, where there is no effort, a little bit like an artist. So I totally agree that everyone is an artist. There's no one who's not an artist, but our art is different. Yeah. And I think Luca was asking, yesterday or day before, you know, what's the point in sitting and what's the point in just not like all these things? And it was difficult to explain that the reason we are doing this is so that we can pull ourselves back in the center. Because you can't be being in this world of doing. But because we are extremely towards doing, you have to pull yourself to be able to come in between.
Yeah.
So maybe that answers your question.
Yeah. So it's doing comes naturally, automatically, and so we have to pull ourselves to the being side until that becomes well balanced. And David, for you, when you started to learn meditation, how did the quality of your doing shift?
Yeah, well, I remember sort of actually when I first had experience actually, this was in the outback in Australia. And
because you were a hippie, right?
Well, yeah, hippie and a bit of a like sannyas, a bit like sannyas or hermit.
Sannyas means hermit, yes.
Yeah, so I got an invitation. I went right up into the north of Australia and I lived on a freshwater spring for 1 year. In that, and in that 1 year, I just had 10 visitors, 10 or 12 visitors in 1 year. But
10 or 12 visitors means snakes, crocodiles?
No, lots of more than that, more than those. But the thing is, one of the first things I become aware of was what, when I observed all the nature, the natural environment, all the different animals and that, they all had their own routine and timings of the day or night. But they had very basic things. They needed shelter, they needed food, and they needed water. And I become like that as well, where what I needed to do for my survival there was those very same things. I needed the food, I needed water, and I built my shelter.
And you needed to make sure you're not food for the crocodile.
Yeah, so that was, but the experience was like, I thought, well, this is very simple. Everything I need was provided as long as I kept in that sort of awareness. And I thought all the other animals are doing the same thing. They have what, and all of a sudden sort of I realized after about 4 months in that place that I'd allow myself to be in that state of being. If I wanted to sit by the spring all half a day or all day, that was okay. But firstly, the mental state was like, no, I should be doing something. You know, but then what I needed to do, I did. I collected the water, collected the firewood, I built the little house I lived in, little shelter. And so all of a sudden there was this extra time which automatically come into just being. And that was such a liberation because I thought, wow, this is so simple. But it was also a feeling, okay, if I kept in this type of awareness, also everything I did need would be provided. That was like a feeling of like a guarantee. And then, of course, after that 1 year, I started meditating through this knowledge of Raj Yoga. And, of course, that come into that as well, where I thought, okay, firstly, there was a lot of concentration, contemplation first on who I am, who I really am, because sometimes I say, I play the part as a carpenter, maybe play the part as a musician or a painter, but that's not who I am. That's just a part I'm playing. So that's very different. And I thought, no, I just want to be happy. I just want to be peaceful. How to do that? And then I looked at my 1 week, for example. Am I happy all week? Am I peaceful all week? And then if that was a difference of percentage, I think, okay, no, for maybe 30% of that time I was happy or peaceful, then what's causing that lack of peace? And then I realized it was my thinking, the way I'm thinking. That was creating a lot of things. So the meditation would give me the awareness of that and the focus of that of, okay, to zoom in and see what is bringing about that a state where there's not that state of peace or peacelessness.
Lovely. Mm. So nice, isn't it? Not to have to fill your day with doing, 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 but to allow yourself to take some space to just be. You have to allow that, don't you? You have to give yourself permission to understand that just being in itself is so nurturing, so nourishing for my inner self, for the soul. Yeah? Do you agree? Good. So we're going to take a little interval break now, and I'm going to invite Sister Judy to do a little exercise with us, and then we continue with the questions. And as you know, Sister Judy is a master of being and doing.
Okay, piece of paper, everyone. On your piece of paper, draw a straight line, like horizontal continuum, and on one end put do, and the other end be. Okay, that's it. Simple. One line, straight line, do and be. Clear? Okay, clear? How? No, do and be. Like this. Do, be. Okay, and now I would like you to put you somewhere on that line. Where are you usually in your day? How much being? how much doing? Are you the little person over on the doing side? But how far? How far? Put yourself somewhere on that continuum. So are you 100% doing, 100% being? Are you 50% both? Or... Okay? So take a minute and put yourself on the continuum. Closer to doing, closer to being, how much closer? Okay, so just put yourself like a little stick figure or a little star on your line. Yeah. Okay, so put a little percentage number. You've got a percentage there. So you're 65% doing, or 95% doing, or 125% doing. No, stay within 100. Okay. Okay. All right. Stand up, everybody who is on the being side of the continuum. Go on, stand up. Oh, look at this. Look at this. New panelists. Yay! Okay, so we want their secrets. Okay, thank you very much. All right. And those of you who are on 65 or plus on the doing side, stand up. 65 plus. Okay. Now, stay standing, those who are 75 plus. Stay standing on doing side. Stay standing, those who are 85% plus. Stay standing, those who are 90% plus. Okay, now look around at everybody. Could you all please smile at them? Send them good wishes and lots of love because they need it, right? All right. Okay. You what? You are engineers. It's all about doing, of course. Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn to the person next to you and just explain why you put yourself where on that continuum. Okay? So turn to the person next to you and just share. Why did you put yourself doing or being? Okay? Okay. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. So now, one more question for your conversation. One more thing. You can stay talking to each other. But one more question. We are suggesting here that it's possible to be while doing. Right? Like that's our aim because we're going to keep doing. We're not going to lie flat. Even lying flat is doing. Right? So, but to be whilst doing is our aim. So I'd like you to share with each other one secret you have learned about this. Because you also probably have been trying to do this. So what wisdom or what secret do you have to help you maintain your being whilst doing? Okay, so share with the same partner any secret you have. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Okay. So, are there secrets out there? Do you know something about this? Of course you do. Of course you do. So, before we come back to the panel, they are going to share how they are achieving this. I'd like to do a little physical movement with you. Very simple little exercise, but you have to put your pen and paper down. You have to be hands-free, for this little exercise, and you have to be able to stand without dropping anything. So hands free, feet. No, not yet, not yet. In a minute, but you have to be free to stand, okay? So this exercise is very, very simple. I am going to invite you to stand up and sit down. Wait. 3 times. That's it. All you're going to do is you're going to stand up and you're going to sit down. And you stand up and you sit down. You stand up and sit down. 3 times. Ready? Go. It's not a race. 3, 3, 3, 3. That feels good, doesn't it? It's good for the knees. Okay. Simple. Now we're going to do that same thing again, but this time, before you stand, each time, before you stand, you say to yourself, I choose to stand. And then, while you're standing, before you sit down, you say to yourself, I choose to sit. And you do that each of the 6 times, right? Up, down is 2, up, down 4, up, down 6. So I choose to stand, I choose to sit. And at your own rhythm, we begin now. The last one. The last one just sat. Okay, did you notice a difference? Time 1 and time 2. And what was the difference? Awareness. You were more aware the second time? Aware of what? Your own pace, your own rhythm, your own energy. Okay, any other difference? Sovereignty, you felt more in charge of yourself. Your body was more compliant, more cooperative with you, came along with you. Okay. You were conscious of what? Of the whole process, of the being. More, your mind was more fresh. The second time? And why? Because of the breathing. So you were more fresh the second time. That's interesting. Liberated. Why would you be fresh? It's the same activity. Why would you be fresher the second time? Because I'm the one who decided to do it. It was the being that was driving the doing. Correct? First time, what was driving the doing? Me. Judy asked us to stand, so I'm standing. It was like a herd. Did you notice that? It was like a group think, you know, up, down, mindless. Correct? Second time, much more conscious, mindful. You were aware of the being, and the being was driving the doing. Yes?
Well done, Judy. So from now on, you're all going to be human beings who do things, right? Is that true? Very good, very good. So we just have a little bit more time, and we gave them a bit of a break from being under the constant questions. Being as a prerequisite to doing. Lovely. Okay. So I have a few more questions for them. You ready? Ready. Okay. This morning, Sister Morney in her talk said that meditation is, or peace is actually an addiction to something positive. Isn't that nice? She said peace is a positive addiction. So in peace, usually I am being. Is that right? There's a connection between being and being peaceful. What else would you be? If you're being, then you would be peaceful. So can you tell me, Arif, how peace as a positive addiction has actually shifted the way you go through life, whether your relationships, whether your activities. Do you feel that you're positively addicted now to being peaceful, to being just the being?
I have understood that I can't be except peace, because this is what I am. I do forget sometimes that that's what I am, but it comes back, because somewhere I know that I am peace, and even when I am peaceless, I do still understand that my nature is that. So I don't really have to do anything to be peace.
You don't have to do anything
to be peace. You are already peace. It's just that we remind ourselves every now and then, and because of the practice, then you remember.
So meditation is nothing but remembering then that I am a peaceful being, and I'm just being peaceful.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Good, thank you. Sarah, what would you say about that? Have you got positively addicted to being peaceful?
Or it's very nice.
You said you were angry before, but now are you addicted to peace? Or?
Yes. Very new things, Sister Moni. Peace addiction. You know, usually we will think addiction is like more negative things, right? Yeah. So this peace, how to explain this peace addiction? So yeah, we practice before, as I say, I'm a very angry bird, angry person.
You wouldn't believe it, would you?
No.
Yeah. So then it doesn't bring any benefit to you if you are in negative and angry, and you just hurt yourself, and then you get sick. So what is the benefit, right? So then I come to this learning. Then I start to understand, and even my body become sick, but doctor don't know what happened. You know, the body growing big and big, but don't know what is the. Then, after that, I realized we know just now, Sister Moni talked about the qualities, right? The love, the happiness, and the purity. So all these are my nature, Arifbhai says. Yeah, that is true, right? Our nature. Angry. Just have a being now. Do you like angry or you like peace? Which one is more easy? Just experiment now. Which one is easy? Peace, right? So that is our nature.
But that's in Mount Abu. But what about out there?
Yeah. Yeah. When you go, we go back to our own country or our own places. So we need to practice and become addicted to this peace. And you practice, like you see in the campus here. You will listen. Sometimes there's a song coming, right? Automatically, right? We go into peace. So in that way, we also can practice, right? Or you can set in your handphone, right, the music every hour, or then you start to practice. It become you addicted now. Like we wake up early in the morning for meditation. Now, if you ask us, any one of us here maybe, not to wake up at that time, I think difficult, right? Yeah. So it's a kind of addiction already. Yeah.
So addiction is like a natural pull. It's your nature becomes that way. It's just, you know, the natural tendency within the soul. So imagine if that was peace, just being. How would it be? Yeah. David, for you, do you think being in peace has become an addiction for you? Or do you still feel that you get disturbed sometimes?
Hello. Okay, we're back on.
I think breathing is an addiction.
Breathing is an addiction, okay.
From my experience anyway, peace has always been something that I feel that is my real nature. And then I'm to become aware of what pulls me out of my real nature. That's more the thing that sort of becomes in focus, because sometimes when we first start, say, to do meditation, and if we go into a space and we say, okay, just be in that state of meditation or peace, we realize the mind is thinking about this or something of yesterday, or maybe something I'm going to do next week, or the mind activity is very active. And that will give me the experience of either peacelessness, especially if there's worry or concern or something that's happening in my mind. So it's almost like, how can I practice? And it is a practice, because when we sit for meditation, a lot of people say, I can't do this. My mind is here, there, racing here and there, everywhere. I can't just sit peacefully or still. And I think the stillness part is also very important, because it's like when the mind becomes still and quiet, it's like looking at a lake, a very still lake, and it becomes where there's no ripples or waves, and it's this reflecting the sky, this complete like a mirror. And I think sort of when we go more and more into that stillness where the mind is still and quiet, naturally, we're experiencing peace. We can't not be, because that is our true nature. So it's almost like, how can I make my world such where I can keep that level of peace more constant? And of course, again, it comes back to what I guess our real needs. What do I need to do? And what is extra? And sometimes the extra things, that may cause the peacelessness. Too much, you know, that I have to think a lot about a lot of things. Do I need to think about those lot of things? You know, can I simplify things where I can keep that level of peace or stillness where my life then becomes, you know, more quality of peace and contentment and things like this? So it is an art, of course, because, look at the world today. If we look at the world today, especially through media, there's not a lot of peace in that sense. We see there's a lot of conflict, a lot of turmoil in many places. And of course, to be still and be in that state of peace, of course, that's where we want to be, actually.
Okay, so my next question, and I'm going to go start with you, and how do you move from doing to being? How did you? How do you? What's your methodology? If you had to give a tip to everybody sitting here, how can we bring ourselves on that line? Remember the line from do and be. How do we move myself to more being? How do you do it? Yep.
Well, I think myself as focus, and a little example is this: is if you're say working on a computer, and say like you have three or four people waiting for you to do something on that computer. And maybe those people get impatient, yeah? And everyone wants their job done, and you're doing that first person's job. So I've noticed that if I'm doing that job again, if I'm doing that particular task and I'm really focused just on that one task, not thinking that, oh, I have 7, 8 more people that I have to do something for, but just really focus on that one task, we can all only do one task in one moment. We can't. There's no such thing as multitasking.
You don't believe in that?
You can't. It's impossible. Because each moment is itself. I can have many jobs I'm doing, but then can't be all at the very same moment. It's impossible. I can only do one task in this very moment. And of course, when I bring my attention back to that, then it's complete, because I've given my 100% the best in this moment doing this task, and so there's nothing left out. The next moment, okay, the next task, but each task will be complete within itself. Otherwise, then it's like we think, then I've got so much to do, yeah? I've got this whole list of things to do. I have so much to do. I have no time to do it all. But we all have the time. But the mental side is thinking, I have all this to do, but this moment now what I'm doing, I have to give that moment 100%. And then that moment will continue into the rest of the day where I'm giving my 100% in each task, and it will happen perfectly.
So what I'm extracting from David's wisdom is to focus on the task you're doing now, and then move to the next moment or the next task, focus on that, and then focus on the next. And so by doing that, you're developing a practice of being present with your task now. That's the way you be. Very nice. Yeah? Okay, wonderful. Sarah, how do you go from doing to being? What would you give as your tip to our lovely friends here? What's the methodology that you use?
So being doing, we are always in rush, and especially in this world, right? Everybody are rushing, and we just do and then by being, we will be more productivity, right? More, and then it will for being, and then we will become more. Whatever I do, it will become more sustenance, right? If you are doing, and then without just to do. You do because you just have to do, because this is, you have to get done your job. So by being, I will be more focused and then more aware of what I'm doing. So there's nothing for me, just practice.
So
daily practice.
Practice awareness?
Yes, practice awareness and become aware that your nature, who am I, right? That is your, go back to your own self, go in introspection, to really aware. But too much, when we are too much in being, but we are not doing, that is no balance, so they will become stagnant, right? Mm. So when we are being, then we do. And it's like a practice, right? You practice and you become.
So what I'm extracting from Sarah is to come back to the awareness that I am a peaceful being. And if your doing is taking you away from that, come back to the practice. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And just keep coming back
practice.
To that practice. Very nice. Thank you very much. And Arif, what's your methodology? How can I do less and be more, or how can I be more in the doing? The question is how.
I don't have a methodology.
But you're an engineer. You should have a methodology.
Actually, that's a trap as well, because you can't do these things, really. These are things that happen. So I was seeking methodology for the first 7-8 years, and even now a little bit, and thinking that there was a method, that you have to do something to be. And then I realized that that's not the case. But a few things that has helped me is simplicity. I think when you have your life full of things and full of doing and full of people, to me, I think it's impossible. If I was what I was and what I did before, I probably wouldn't be able to do. So I decided to simplify my life and not fear what anybody would say. So we don't really say that, you know, go away from the world, which is not going to be very practical for most of us. But I would say, as much as possible, to realize that you're okay, you're safe, you're secure, you will get your food. But if you are able to let go of most of the things that don't really have any value in your life, it just takes you more away from yourself. So for me, I think what helped me was to make this decision to let go of certain things that gave me name and, you know, I was somebody. And I think nature helps because I was redundant and I said, oh, that's great. So, and then after that, opportunity started. That, okay, now what do I do? I don't have anything to do. And then I realized that, no, I'm not going back there. I think I need to find something else. Yeah? And if I can't, then I think the next thing is to create instrument consciousness. I think you've all done the course and you know what is instrument consciousness.
Could you explain what you mean?
So there is something that we study here is that I'm not doing anything. I'm just an instrument for something to happen. So there is this higher force or power or energy that actually does it through me. And when you shift that, when you shift your awareness to become an instrument, then there is power in whatever you do. Okay, so you know, like changing gears. You know, don't do. Just become an instrument. Then there is no burden. You don't have to take the load. You don't have to prove to anyone. You don't have to, you know, I'm the best. There's no need. You know, because he knows what to do through you. So if you allow him to actually do through you, then automatically you will be pulled towards that energy. And in fact, things become simpler. Because, you know, I have an example. There are a lot of things that I wanted to do and I was already studying this knowledge and it was not happening. It was not happening. And I tried. And then I realized the reason that it is not happening is because there's I who's trying to do that. There was that I, little bit of I should do this. Because now I have knowledge. But then when I let go of that I and allowed something to actually walk through, everything started happening. And I didn't have to walk much. So having that faith that there is another power which is stronger than me, and if I open myself and let go of that I, then I can just naturally be. So these are the two things that help me.
Lovely. So the first was simplicity. Just simplify your life. Secondly, I'm an instrument for a higher force to work through me, so it's not I do, but to simply allow things and they will get done and they will happen. So lovely. Yes. You have a question for Arif? Okay. Yes, we have a few minutes. So some scientists say that consciousness is coming through us so that we can recognize ourselves. So consciousness... this. There's consciousness to recognize myself. Here, consciousness, you mean the divine? So that sometimes the divine comes through us so that we can recognize ourselves.
What's the question?
So what is the question? Some scientists say that consciousness comes to a human body to recognize the self. Are you asking him, is this true or false? Is it true or false?
I think there is definitely that, if you're saying about higher consciousness or the divine consciousness is there for us, it comes to us so that we can know ourselves. I think that's very true. Because there's no way, because we're too busy. Yeah. So there's something that has not forgotten itself can help, like, you know, somebody who's awake can wake up somebody. But somebody who's asleep cannot wake up anyone, right? So that being who's always awake, you know, can help others wake up. Yeah, so I, in that, and then we can look at the science part maybe later. Yeah.
Lovely. So we're just about at the end of this panel discussion, and I'd like you to now write down on your piece of paper a word or maybe two, three words of wisdom that you have taken from this panel discussion or something that you discovered yourself in your interactions that will help you to be more, whether in the doing or just as you are going through life. How can you be more present to yourself, be more aware of yourself, and then take that being, obviously, into your doing? So I'll just give you a couple of minutes to write a word or a line or a mantra, you know, or something that you can keep looking at, even when you leave this retreat, that will remind you, be more focus. So David's was focus, Sarah's was awareness, and Arif had two words, simplicity and the consciousness of being an instrument. What's yours? Okay, so let's finish with just a couple of minutes of being. Would you like to do that? You don't need to write now. You don't need to think. You don't need to do anything. We don't need to go anywhere for 5 minutes. So can we just be? Just be for 2 minutes, everyone? Yeah? So if we have the lights down and just a bit of soft music and observe these three wonderful yogis as they be, and you be too.